Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Continuing our verse-by-verse study through the New Testament. The message is entitled, It's Not What Goes In. It's not what goes in. Well, if it's not about what goes in, then what is it about? It's about, come on, somebody say it. What comes out, that's right. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, where we read, Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? And he answered and said to them, Well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Oh, whoever says to father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, then he need not any longer honor his father and mother? Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are the blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, Well, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So it's not what goes in. Now, at this point in Matthew's gospel, the disciples had seen Jesus perform many miracles. In the midst of a stormy sea, they saw Jesus walk on water. Peter even got to walk on water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and then began to focus on the waves and the wind, and then he began to sink. But then he cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus pulled him up and put him safely on the boat. Then they arrived safely on the other side, and the people that were there recognized Jesus and brought to him all who were sick. If you look back at chapter 14 and verse 36, when Jesus came to the other side, the people begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So Jesus performed many mighty miracles, but there were some who were not impressed. In fact, they even tried to find fault with Jesus, not because he and his disciples did anything against the word of God, but because they broke the religious rulers' traditions. Traditions. In verses 1 through 9, we read about finding fault with the faultless. Finding fault with the faultless. Verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem. Now keep in mind, Jesus and his disciples are in the north. They're around the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem is down there in the south. The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, so these guys have observed something that they didn't like. And so they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? Now, they weren't concerned about COVID or some other transmittable disease. The hand washings they did were ceremonial, not hygienic. They were upset that the disciples and Jesus were not observing their ceremonies, not that they were breaking the scriptures, but that they were breaking the tradition of the religious rulers. See, those guys had already decided that Jesus was a threat to their position and authority over the people. They had already decided he had to go. So therefore, they sent this delegation to try to find a specific reason to justify their murderous intents. And they saw Jesus and the disciples violating their ceremonial hand-washing rituals that had been established by past rabbis and religious rulers. Mark also records this event and adds this: "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way." If you go to Israel and you come with us to the Wailing Wall, before you get there to that Western Wailing Wall, there is a big fountain. We'll show a picture of it in a little bit. Several spigots, and there are these pitchers that have two handles. The one that you first grab to pour water over your left hand, and when it has ceremonially cleansed, then you can grab the clean other handle to then cleanse your right hand. And they do it in a very specific way, holding to the tradition of the elders. Verse 4 of Mark 7, "When they come to the or from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches." Now, these are all traditions of the religious rulers. Originally, back in Exodus, God gave his law to Moses. In fact, God gave to Moses the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Together, they are called the Torah, the Greek word, you might have heard it before, Pentateuch. This was God's word, God's law. But the Jews also believed that God gave Moses a second set of unwritten rules that helped explain the law. And this unwritten rules, this collection of oral traditions passed down from rabbi to rabbi, was called the Mishnah. Now, between the 2nd and 3rd century AD, about 100 to 200 years after Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, the Mishnah and another set of oral traditions called the Gemara were written down in a several-volume set called the Talmud. The Jews, including those of Jesus' day, considered the oral traditions, the Mishnah, as being as divinely inspired as God's law, the Torah, the written word of God. And in the Mishnah, which again was eventually codified in the Talmud, there are teachings about ceremonial cleansing, including the religious way of washing one's hands before eating. So when the religious rulers saw the disciples not washing their hands religiously, traditionally, they accused them of breaking God's commandments, which they weren't. They were just breaking with the traditions. But again, the religious rulers viewed the written word and the orally passed down traditions as truly coming from God. But Jesus, not just here, but in many places, made it very clear that what the religious rulers believed and taught were merely traditions of men. They weren't the word of God. And in many cases, their traditions violated the clear teaching of God's word. And that infuriated Jesus, because by their traditions, they undermined what God had intended, which therefore allowed those tradition holders to become selfish and self-serving, and also they hindered people from knowing God as he revealed himself in the scriptures. We live in a day where tradition abounds. You hear people saying, my God, my belief in God is, I believe in a God that. I don't believe God will judge anybody. My God would never hate anybody. He loves everybody and accepts everybody just the way they are. Everybody goes to heaven. My God brings everybody to heaven. And I scratch my head and say, where do you get that from? What it boils down to is tradition, feeling, what they have decided. But by so doing, they violate the clear teaching of Scripture. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you know who you are? Do you? Yeah, you know you better than anybody else, right? Do you like it when people think that you're somebody that you're not? Do you enjoy being misrepresented on Facebook or Twitter or wherever? Do you enjoy it when people think that you're completely different from the real you? Of course not. In fact, it can be downright offensive. You can be accused of things you've never done, accused of saying things you've never said. Well, does not God know who he is? Does not God truly know who he is? Has he revealed himself to the world? Absolutely. This is the Bible, the very word of God. It is about who he is and who we are and who we are in him and who they are who are not in him. God knows who he is. God forbid that we would allow traditions or feelings or personal beliefs to somehow, someway nullify God's word, particularly when it comes to who he knows himself to be. So these religious guys, accused Jesus and the disciples of breaking their traditions. But then Jesus rebuked them for breaking God's law. He answered and said to them, verse 3, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? You know, there are some traditions that some hold fast to in the Christian church. Some even that might even contradict the Bible. There are some who hold fast to the idea that there are holy foods and unholy foods. There are some who hold fast to the belief that there are certain days that are more holy and therefore the church should worship on those days, but not on other. In fact, there are some who believe that God should only be worshiped on Saturday, and if you worship on a Sunday, you have received in their minds the mark of the beast. There are some who believe in so-called sanctified clothing. And typically it's a lot of rules for women about their clothes because it's the men making the rules. You see how that works? Sanctified clothing. In such cases, you and I, as God's people, we need to choose a side. Are we going to side with the tradition, or are we going to believe God's word? Hey, by the way, as far as clothing goes, here's our clothing policy. Wear clothes. That's it. Just wear clothes. We have to choose sides. Are we going to side with the Bible or traditions? When I was 17 years old, a priest told me that the traditions of the church were more authoritative than the Bible because, based on the fact that these traditions had been so long standing in the church, he told me, we believe God has changed his mind. That's the position that they hold. Our traditions are so long-standing, therefore, if it seems to contradict the Bible, it's because God changed his mind. Well, he tells this to some punky-year-old, 17-year-old kid who recently came to faith in Jesus, who believed the Bible, and at that point, I had a choice to make. Am I going to side with the traditions of the church, or am I going to believe the Bible? I chose to believe the Bible. I still choose to believe the Bible over everything. And apparently, so did Jesus. Notice in verse 4, for God commanded, saying, Again, he's rebuking them for breaking the law. The word of God says, the written word of God, honor your father and your mother. This is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth of the Ten Commandments. By the way, honoring father and mother means more than just showing them respect. For in the Bible, we're told that a child is responsible for taking care of their parents in their old age, financially, physically, and in all ways. I mean, they took care of us when we were little babies, and then they get older, and it's time for us to take care of them. That's what it means to honor father and mother. In verse 4, Jesus goes on to say, and he who curses, and he's quoting here now from Exodus 21, whoever curses father or mother, not just cursing and cussing them out, but refusing to take care of them. Whoever curses father and mother, let him be put to death. According to Jesus, refusing to take care of parents in their latter years is synonymous with cursing them, punishable by death. So this is the law, Jesus tells these religious rulers. But you say, and now he's going to quote their traditions from the Mishnah, a rule that they called Korban. Korban. You say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Yeah, the money that you need to live on, I'm not going to give that to you. I'm going to hold that aside in my house. It's under Korban. It is now designated to be a gift to God. According to your rule of Korban, your traditions, then, verse 6, then you need no longer honor father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God to honor father and mother of no effect by your tradition. So I'm going to keep this money aside until you die, and then whatever might be left over will be a gift to God. So you could even dip into it while your parents were alive. Their traditions made them self-centered and selfish. It's all about them finding the loophole. There was a man, W.C. Fields. He was a comedian back in the roaring 20s, and he was very popular, but apparently a very foul man. And one day he told somebody that he read the Bible. And the other person was shocked because of the guy's character. Said, you read the Bible? He goes, every day. Why do you read the Bible? His words were, looking for a loophole. And that's how some people treat the Word of God. And if they can't find an outright loophole in their mind to do what they want, then they'll make up a tradition that allows them a way out of keeping the Word of God. Their traditions allowed them to forsake their parents and be selfish. And then Jesus let them have it. Hypocrites. You play actors, you're trying to appear religious on the outside, but you are just full of evil. At one point, Jesus even called them children of Satan. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, they might talk a religious talk, but they walked a selfish walk. Instead of pleasing God by obeying his word, they twisted the scriptures to please themselves. They sided with their traditions over the scriptures. And in verse 9, he says, and in vain they worship me. All of their efforts were in vain because they were hypocrites. The person who claims to know God yet refuses to know him as who he says he is, they kind of make up an image of God in their own hearts. They may worship all day long, but the Lord doesn't hear them. They draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You think your traditions are just as valid as the scriptures, and you teach your traditions as if they're on equal par with the scriptures. And these religious rulers, because of their traditions, caused them to be obsessed over ceremonial hand washings yet neglecting to take care of their own parents. That's hypocrisy. And then in verses 10 through 20, Jesus will say, the mouth mirrors the heart. The mouth mirrors the heart. Verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. So he deals with the religious rulers, calls them hypocrites, and in vain you worship God and you're teaching your traditions as if they're commandments of God. And then he calls the people, and there were multitudes there, hundreds, thousands of people. He says, hey, everybody, come here and listen. So you know what? We all need to pay attention to what Jesus is about to say. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. Now, oh, great, I get to get high and get drunk. No, 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 no. There's other scriptures that talk about how we're never to be inebriated. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We're not to lose control of our mental faculties through chemicals. He's talking about foods here. Foods and other beverages that do not impair the mind. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth, this defiles a man. Here Jesus is rebuking the school of thought that was prevalent among the religious rulers, and it's this: that man or woman can earn a good standing with God through religious observances. That you and I, we can earn a better standing with God if we do certain religious things. That was a school of thought that Jesus rebuked. Among many things, the Jews thought they would earn a righteous standing before God by observing a strict set of dietary rules and regulations. I'm going to heaven because I'm Jewish and I eat kosher. And I wash my hands in a certain prescribed manner. Even how they prepare themselves to eat, they thought was spiritual. But Jesus blew that all away. He said, it doesn't matter at all how you wash your hands or what goes into your mouth. But what matters is what comes out of your mouth. For the mouth reflects the heart. And God is concerned with the condition of the heart, not the contents of the stomach. So Jesus lays this out to them, and the religious rulers, they are hopping mad off to the side, and they're who knows what they're saying or screaming, but it was apparent they were very, very angry with Jesus. And in verse 12, the disciples came and said to Jesus, hey, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard that saying? Lord, you need to be careful. You're offending the religious rulers. They may leave our church and go to that feel-good church down the road that'll tell them everything they want to hear. Jesus' attitude was, if they're offended by what I tell them, because I tell them the truth, that's their problem. And it shows that they don't belong to me anyway. Notice verse 13, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The wheat represents the true believers. The tares, the weeds, the common darnel, represents the plants of the enemy that he sows sometimes even in the church. One day God's going to uproot every plant that is not in him. If a person rejects the clear teaching of the Bible and instead follows after religious traditions, they eventually will be uprooted, bundled, and burned in unquenchable fire. How vital it is for us to be biblical, not traditional. So every plant in me that does not bear fruit, which my Father has not planted, will be uprooted. Let them alone. Don't worry about them. They are blind leaders of the blind. Here, I'll show you the way. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. There's only one source of light that illuminates our pathway through this life, and it's the Bible, the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The fool follows his or her heart. How do I feel about this? What do I think about this? No, blind guides leading the blind, going to fall into the ditch. But those who seek after and follow after the clear teaching of the Bible, the Word of God, His Word is a lamp to their feet, a light to their path. Tradition, the pathway of darkness. God's Word, the pathway of light. Then Peter answered and said to him, well, explain this parable to us. Blind leaders of the blind, the plants which the Father hasn't planted will be uprooted. And, you know, it's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out. So explain this to us. And Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Certain foods or drinks cannot make us less or more spiritual. If I decide that from now on I'm only going to eat McDonald's, it will make me fat and lazy, but it won't make me any more or less spiritual. So who's going to join me for a Big Mac later on? Eating, you will, thanks. Okay, Wenton, you and me. McDonald's will make me physically ill, probably, but spiritually holy, no. But, Jesus says in verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they, defiling words from a defiled heart, will defile a man. The mouth mirrors the heart. It's not foods that go in, but words that come out. My words reveal what I've already put in my heart. Our hearts are like a computer. And you remember, if you ever took a computer course the first day, they would say, garbage in, garbage out. The computer simply reflects what you put in. Our mouths reflect what we put in. Garbage in, garbage out. But the good news is, God in, His Word in, then God out. And you can tell those people who have been putting God in their hearts because they talk about Him a lot. He's on their lips. He is in all of their conversations. It's all coming back to the Lord Jesus. Because they've been putting God in. It's so wonderful to be around. There are certain people that I just love hanging out with because I know they have been putting God in their hearts. But again, foods have no effect on the heart. So, give me the Bible and please pass me the bacon. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Talking about evil carnal things. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Does not. Jesus doesn't care what you and I have eaten this last week. But He does care greatly about what we've said last week because it reflects what we've put in our hearts last week. What we've been watching with our eyes and hearing with our ears. And on Judgment Day, that was for added emphasis. On Judgment Day, somebody else drop something, please. On Judgment Day, the Lord is going to judge the content of our hearts, not the content of our stomachs. In Matthew chapter 12, if you want to turn back there a couple of pages, in verse 35, Jesus talks about those who have put God's word in their hearts, and He says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And He talks about the person who's been putting garbage in. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. The mouth reflects the heart. But I say to you that for every... This is a tad bit alarming. if I do say so myself. I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Like I said, this little nerve-wracking, isn't it? Every word I've ever said, the Lord is going to talk to me about it. I don't believe it's an issue of heaven or hell, but I certainly do believe it's an issue of heavenly reward or not. And also an encouragement to focus my eyes and my ears and my heart and my mind on Jesus. Jesus in, that Jesus might come out. Every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words mirror our hearts. If you and I have been transformed by being born again of the Holy Spirit, if we're truly born again, our speech will show it. We won't talk like the religious rulers. We won't take pride in our self-righteous traditions and how wonderful we are, how spiritual we are. We won't also talk like the world, carrying on these carnal conversations, but speech that's void of the things of God. If we've been truly born again, our speech will show it. Religious washings, ceremonial hand washings, will not cleanse us from sin. A religious diet will not digest us into the kingdom of heaven. I thought that was funnier than you obviously did. A diet will not digest us into the kingdom. Okay. Thank you. And Chris, get ready to laugh at this next one. A religious outfit won't make us more suitable for eternity. Thank you, Joshy. It's not what you put on or what you put in your mouths, or my mouth. But if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that he's risen from the dead, then we're saved. And as Jesus said, by our words we will be justified. Justified, never sinned. Isn't that cool? And that's what we have in Jesus. So if you want to have a special diet, that's fine, but please never think that your special diet makes you more religious. Even if it's a strict kosher diet, that doesn't give you any brownie points with God, because it's not what goes in, it's what comes out. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for, Lord, hopefully speaking to our hearts, Lord. Lord, that one verse about every idle word, I'm going to give an account to you, Lord. That gives me pause for concern. It makes me want to be more careful in what I put in my heart and to be careful with what comes out my mouth. Lord, I do ask that today you would lead us and guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Lord, if there are any traditions we're holding on to, then, Father, I pray that you would help us to make the wise choice to forego tradition and embrace the word of God. Lord, to let the traditions go and to embrace the clear teaching of God's word, especially when it comes to who you are and who you know yourself to be. And so, Lord, thank you again for this day. We love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand for a closing song?